Or, okay, guys, yeah. Cover because you don't want to hurt your eyes.
Yeah.
Jacob, are we ready? I can't see.
It's time.
Welcome to the Afterthoughts podcast.
Oh, Eclipse my goodness. Edition.
Be careful, guys.
We can't look at this light or we can't look at the cameras. How does this work?
You just look into your glasses.
If we have the glasses on, we can look in the camera. But if we don't have glasses on, we can't look at the camera.
Do you guys believe in the eclipse?
Well, I roasted both my retinas yesterday.
I can't see anymore. Why did you do that?
And that was right before the total eclipse. So honestly, I don't know if it happened.
Doug never got to see it.
Never got to see it.
He just couldn't stop staring at the sun. Man.
Do you guys believe that it was real? Or was it AI?
Yeah. Well, since the beginning, man has been trying to blot out the sun. And for 2 minutes, they were successful.
So deep.
Yeah, I think it's just a political thing. I don't know who's doing it and who's against it, but somebody's for it and somebody's against
it. I'm sure
it.
There's somebody.
And it's really going to divide people, which is a good thing. So
Yeah. Somehow we take a beautiful, natural wonder and turn it into a divisive
thing.
So that's
good. I think we got one side that's just like, I'll just blow up the eclipse. I'll blow the whole thing up. You guys want it gone? I'll blow up the eclipse.
You don't even have to have it.
How do you do that, by the way? The whole
eclipse? You can't do that. And if you do,
the moon, the sun, the earth, or the eclipse? Actually, the concept. The eclipse concept.
I was watching the national championship.
Yeah. Yep.
Which UConn really made March Madness not a whole
just
lot of fun.
Not fun this year.
But at halftime, Charles Barkley just harped on the eclipse. He literally was like, are you guys some of those idiots that were out there watching the eclipse? And they're like, what? And he's like, I'm not going to go outside to see it get dark. When I go outside tonight, it'll be dark.
It'll be dark.
Cool, Charles.
Okay,
find
Chuck.
Find some joy for not one eclipse thing in your life.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Ever since the Monstar stole his talent in Space Jam. He's got an attitude problem, man.
That's right.
I'd love to have him on the show because I think he'd be hilarious and awesome. There was a bit of a tude.
There was a point at which it looked like the moon was on fire.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
I couldn't believe it.
I thought it was awesome.
By then I did believe it because I saw it.
Because you were seeing it.
Yeah. Is believing seeing or is seeing believing only when it comes to an eclipse?
Actually, both. But for you, you only believed after you saw. Blessed are those who believe without seeing.
I like Googled something. Yeah, like we were trying to figure out the difference of the eclipses yesterday. And there was like news outlets had like live updates of the eclipse. I'm like, well, what are you going to update? Like everybody can see it. It's happening now. It's happened. Those are the updates for you today. Great news reporting.
That's like being at a sports game, but watching it on your phone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, well,
I'm game casting at the game right now.
What I did enjoy yesterday was there was zero traffic the entire day.
It was the best commute ever.
I was not expecting that. Even driving to work, I found out how many companies just gave everybody the day off.
Dude, for a 20-minute event.
Like a two-minute window.
We had a great day of work yesterday, and then for 20 minutes, we all went up onto the roof and enjoyed the eclipse, and it was awesome.
And then guess what? We got back to work.
Yeah.
Well, because everyone thinks at this stage of the world, if there's anything big going on, everyone thinks it's cataclysmic. Like, this is probably it.
Unprecedented.
This eclipse definitely is pointing us to the end of the world. Dude, there's no way we all live
this
through
this
day.
This is an inclement eclipse.
Spend all your money, save nothing for the future.
Yeah, dude.
Live it up today. Store nothing in barns. Jesus even said that.
You know,
for the eclipse is coming.
For the eclipse is coming.
For people that are watching on YouTube right now,
I gotta take these off.
Which, if you don't watch, I was just gonna say, it probably seems like we are talking and can see each other, but I can't see a
thing.
Can't
see anything.
No, these things are.
They're really impressive.
You can see the eclipse with these.
I'm just moving my head to follow your voices.
Yeah.
Kayla, did you enjoy the eclipse?
I very much did. Yeah, I had a great time. Went on the roof.
You took some pictures?
I took some
pics. Did you tag the eclipse?
Yeah, I did. Cool. At the moon, at the sun. Apparently.
All the big players.
Did you post about it?
I did post about it.
You did?
Good.
Yeah. Nice.
I was hoping some people would post just so I could know if it happened.
I got to read
Ethan's. Ethan Jr., he said that apparently NASA has a moon and then a sun account. And the moon account blocked the sun account on Instagram.
Oh,
good job, awesome. NASA. Good to know that scientists have senses of humor.
They still have fun, as smart as they are.
You didn't know that, right? Why'd you assume not?
It's my first time knowing. I shouldn't have made that assumption.
Do you think the bad guy from Apollo 13
Ryan hates
there?
Scientists? That's the title of this podcast.
Ethan's least favorite villain is the villain in Apollo 13.
Yeah. Our roommate Tommy in college saw Ed Harris. And he was like, hey, isn't that the bad guy in Apollo 13? And we were like, well, I think space is the bad guy in Apollo 13.
Just like the grumpy guy that tries to... He's actually the hero, if you think about
it. Right before the eclipse yesterday, he texted this to you, me, and Corey, and I was waiting for it all day.
Dude.
And it did not disappoint me. Because I love how much this gets to you. And it gets to me also.
Don't mean this towards you, Kayla.
No, sorry, Kayla. Oh. Praying that some people put content on social media about seeing the eclipse so that everyone else can know that it happened today.
That is Ethan to a T.
Well, it's kind of like when weather is happening and like everyone's posting, oh, like there's a blizzard. It's like, we know. Well, yeah. We live here.
Yeah.
No, like,
yeah.
It's not, anyway. Corey and I once went down a whole like day of just harping on that. Speaking of Corey, he's coming
Friday.
To do worship this weekend.
Sure is.
Because when, was it Notre Dame was on fire?
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone was finding a way to make it about themselves on social media.
Right. Always.
Like, oh, I studied abroad in Europe. This breaks my heart. I'm like, it says nothing
to not about you.
Why are we just thinking about you? My uncle lived over there for 2 years.
Yeah.
This just hits close to home. I'm like, no, it does not hit
close. Some people are having a really bad day. So let's maybe just like
I still remember when I was six watching The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Disney movie. This is just... Pray for me today, guys. This is a hard day for me.
Do you guys still have your glasses on?
Oh, yeah.
No, mine are off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be able to
for
know.
For continuity, do I have to keep it on the whole time?
No.
Okay, I'm going to take mine off.
You have to take them off at the right time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy, though. Like, right when it got dark, it was like everything just went...
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
How great is our God?
Honored. Honored to
How
get
great
to live...
is our God?
At a spot and where sing. It got to be a total eclipse.
Yeah, people, we were in the
people
path
traveled
of totality.
From miles.
Totality.
That was a big term to throw around, kind of like, you know, there's some terms people
increment.
Say, like, I know what I'm talking about. Right. So we're in the path of totality.
Yep.
So we did experience it in totality.
We'll be traveling here because we are in the path of totality.
Yeah.
We got
you take it for granted.
We got eclipse gifts from our friend Joe Hoffman that we wanted to show off since we are a sports podcast.
Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. Now, we had... Probably upwards of 60 or 70 Ken Griffey cards growing up, but the rookie card was always the coveted card.
It's the Charizard of
Joe.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Thank you so much for this
Joe,
card.
It's the Charizard. We love you, man. Thank you.
Did you get a card?
Yeah, but it's home. It's it's on the nightstand next to my bed.
Who is it?
Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh, you also. Okay.
Yep, I got that one too.
I got some Colorado sports. He gave me four. I don't know what that says about our relationship versus yours, but Dikembe Mutombo.
Mutombo.
Incredible.
Callback.
Dante Bichette. Of course. Colorado Rockies.
Yes.
Blake Street
Dante
Bombers.
Bichette.
Blake Street.
Steve Atwater.
Of course. Classic Bronco.
He was great.
Yeah.
For the Broncos. And a signed Jonathan Elway.
Signed.
Oh,
Jonathan
is it really?
Elway.
Let me see
Doug,
that.
I'll let you hold that. Not for too long, though.
Not for too
not
long.
Not yours.
Oh, can I take it out and dip it in the coffee?
Joe,
don't
you're
want
the best.
Me to?
Thank you for
Joe.
The cards.
Yeah, thanks,
Joe Fman, as I call him.
Yeah.
Kayla, are you worn out from asking 30 questions last time?
Oh, no. I
Great episode last week.
Still curious?
Oh, still curious.
Still more to know.
Still so much more.
Oh, man.
Okay, well.
The curiosity of a child. Childlike
let's
wonder.
Let's do a couple questions with Kayla. We still got to figure out a jingle and a little like logo for that. But
we'll get there eventually.
We'll ask Corey next week.
Questions with
Corey. Will
just have him sing one.
Corey will be on the podcast next week. Corey Miller of Corey Miller will be next week. So get ready for that. Kayla, whatever questions you have left in the tank, bring them on.
So since we just talked about the solar eclipse, what's the funniest thing you heard about the solar eclipse?
The funniest thing?
Yeah. Hmm. There's, or like, you know, like the craziest thing, how everybody thought the world was going to
end.
A meme.
Let's hear it.
Maybe I can send to you and then we can.
Okay.
Yep.
Let me see.
If technology works right, we can figure it out.
I've got my fingers crossed because I am
a
little
suspicious. Hey, ChatGPT, can you send this meme from Doug to Jacob and then put it into the video?
Oh, now it's not going to be authentic.
When he exports the podcast.
Because it's ChatGPT.
Here it is, so you guys can, and I'll send this to you so you can put it up. It's like, this is officially getting out of control. As the moon, and the caption is, it's just going to ask you a few questions.
That's so good.
Dude, that's so good.
That's good.
Love it.
That's good.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you guys leave tips?
E-tips? Do I leave a tip?
Where do you not leave a tip?
This is a hard
Subway.
One. Yeah.
Yeah,
the places
there for 3 years, they never got a tip.
If you don't have a server that comes to your table and takes your order and brings the food and stuff, then I always feel like, I'm doing it.
Yeah. As for me, I do leave them a tip, but generosity is a pillar of my life.
Yeah, so good for you. Yeah. Cool. Congrats.
That's cool, guys.
Like
for answering my question. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm with you.
At Starbucks?
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I always leave 30%.
If I get a drink from my wife at Starbucks,
yeah.
Two pump venti, caramel macchiato.
Yeah, where that takes like some work.
Then I'll put like, it says leave a tip, and I'll go like, I'll give you, all right, I'll give you a dollar. That's a generous tip for making a latte. But I get a drip coffee.
I'm so like, it's just turning around and
yeah. You don't get a tip for that. It's already overpriced.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for asking about tips,
yeah.
Kayla.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should feel bad for, I don't think you should ever feel pressured into generosity. Right. And it is kind of getting out of hand. It's just going to ask you a few questions. And they're staring right at you, standing there. And you're like, you know the question it's going
to
ask
you. You didn't make the food. No. You just took the bag and now you're handing it to me.
Right. And I'm afraid and if I'm I don't leave a tip, $10? You're going to spit in this or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
I never did that, by the way.
Never once.
At Subway.
You never sabotage a sandwich.
Never. No, of course not. I'm a sandwich artist.
You are a sandwich artist.
Never do that. Is what they call it.
Yeah.
You made me a lot of great sandwiches over those 3 years.
I made a lot of them, Ryan.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Made a lot of them for you for free.
Oh, yeah.
You think that we could go to
a Subway?
Could we go to a local Subway and ask them if they'll let you make us sandwiches there as
former...
He's hung up in the back on the wall. 3 years that guy worked at Subway.
Most of them will be like, I don't care. Sure, come back. I promise you.
Yeah, that's probably true. Come on, man.
I let my friends in high school, like, they'd come in. It's Friday night and I have to work until 10 p.m.
The integrity of the line in high school. Yeah.
So everybody would come in. Honestly,
it's a cool experience.
Everybody would come in. My whole friend group would come in at like 9:45
Yeah.
While I'm cleaning up everything and... They'd even help me clean a little bit, but I'm like, guys, get back here. Make your own sandwich.
Make a sub.
My manager's not going to care. We've gone through 7 managers in the 3 years that I've been here. Yeah. They're not going to care. So,
and I would ask myself, do I want this toasted? I do. And then I would toast it.
And then you put it in the toaster that Jim Gaffigan describes as the oven toaster from your freshman dorm room.
That bit on Subway.
Gaffigan's Subway bit.
Yeah, stop listening to this and go listen to that. Very and then funny. Come back and listen to the rest of this.
Of course, because Kayla's got another question.
I do have another question. Cool. This one I saw online and I thought it was funny.
Okay, we'll find out.
If you had to swap your legs with another legs of any other animal, which animal would you choose?
Another animal.
Yeah.
Cheetah.
I was just hoping for another person. 60 miles.
I was going to say LeBron James.
I've got chicken legs.
Another animal?
Yeah, animal. Not another person.
In the head of an egret.
Jim's like, I'll do some research.
If I said a horse, would I be a centaur?
Kind of, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going cheetah.
Does he get just the two front legs of the horse or the whole?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Just two legs.
Oh, you only get two. So balance has to be taken into consideration.
Narnia with whatever that guy's name
is. Well, Mr. Tumnus, but he's got, he is that, but it's like a goat or something.
Dude, maybe a kangaroo.
Yeah.
I'll say a kangaroo.
Kangaroo's a good option.
That's not a bad option.
Hops.
Or what?
An ostrich.
Oh yeah,
fast.
It'd be kind of gross looking.
Yeah.
For someone that shames people when they wear sandals, Kayla, I'm surprised you brought up an ostrich.
I'd say kangaroo, so I could finally know what it feels like to dunk a basketball.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guarantee you, I could if I had kangaroo legs.
You could.
Yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
Good indeed.
What'd you say?
Well, cheetah. At first, when I thought it was, you get all four. But
you're not gonna be able to balance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just gonna say a silverback gorilla.
There you go. Good one.
Yeah, you guys are fast.
You'd be able to squat like
I could squat
10,000 pounds.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be
probably
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good one.
Good question.
Yeah, no problem.
Anything else?
I got one more.
Oh my gosh.
So I also saw this like joke/question.
Okay.
And it reminded me of the series that we're in, the I Am series. Mm. Okay. So here it goes.
Good says, build up.
Yes.
The series
so this is
we're
the segue
in.
Into the
I am series.
This is the segue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kayla's
okay.
good at a segue question.
Yeah, that's great.
We should
transition.
Get Kayla a segue that
not
she stands on.
Confused with Ooh. Subway though.
On set.
So,
even
anyways,
she's off camera.
It's
a waste of money.
It says, I am a ball that can be rolled but never bounced or thrown. What am I?
Say it again.
I am a ball that can be rolled but never bounced or thrown. What am I?
One more time.
Okay. I am a ball that can be rolled but never bounced or thrown. What am I?
This is from, did you say this from the book of Proverbs?
Yeah.
I mean, a bowling ball, maybe.
I mean, that's a pretty good.
You could throw it, but it would do damage.
They don't bounce.
Seen them bounce when you throw
have.
Poorly.
You have?
Yeah. When you go bowling with my dad, he just tries to throw it as hard as he can.
No.
It bounces.
Okay. Yeah. make a scene a little bit in the bowling alley. And, okay.
Hold on. Let me put on my specs and see if I can figure this out, Kayla.
You're right. Close.
I am a ball. And this has to do with I Am series?
Is it the Earth?
Just the start of the Earth. Is it I Am a Ball?
Is the answer the Earth?
Oh, or the Sun?
No.
Those are my three options.
The only way it has to do with the series is it says I Am a Ball. So that's the only way.
It's just an I Am statement.
I Am statement.
Well, it is an I Am statement.
This is the ninth I Am statement
after I Am Iron Man. Pen?
Yeah. That's pretty good. That's actually a really good answer, but it's not.
Thank you. It is, isn't it?
I've never thought about that there's a ball and a ballpoint pen. And you've still never.
Have you ever thought?
This is my first thought. You've never explained caffeine. Still.
As you're drinking coffee. Yeah, today's not the day.
I can smell it. I can't see it right now.
The answer, if you guys don't know.
Yes.
That was a good answer, though. An eyeball.
Well, I mean, if you can roll your eyes.
Oh, you can roll your eyes.
Well, I bet they
what
bounce
if, what if, really good. What if someone pulled your eyeball out and bounced it?
Well, that's not part of the question.
It would hurt.
So.
It would hurt. Yeah, the guy in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, that's right.
The that's two right. comic relief pirates. Yep. One of him keeps losing his eyeball and chasing it around the deck of the ship.
Just one of the craziest documentaries I've ever watched.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
Really changes your perspective on pirates, right? Oh, they're kind of fun.
They were more fun than...
They're nice guys.
You were in the documentary, right? You were in it.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah.
Oh, Orlando Bloom?
I learned a lot.
No.
Yeah.
That's in the knockoff Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Right.
Yeah, if there was like a really low budget PureFlix version of
PureFlix,
I probably would still not make it.
PureFlix of the Caribbean.
It's like the box of Lucky Charms and then the box of like Magic M's next to it.
And then there's like,
that's
bag,
what we're talking
and
about.
And you go,
Oh, this doesn't even affect me because I have my glasses on.
Blocking out the haters.
Well,
that's all I got.
I am so thankful for your question, Kayla.
Wow. Another good segue.
I am. You're welcome.
That's not how you use that.
Okay.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Afterthoughts, by the way.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Athletic Greens. What else? Chick-fil-A. What other sponsors do we have at this point?
The Eclipse. The Chosen.
University of Colorado Buffaloes.
Subway.
Oh, also now UT, the Longhorns. Yeah.
Somebody gifted us, and we don't even know who it is.
We don't know what happened, but somehow.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hook 'em.
Huge fan. And now we have the hat to prove
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
But AG1, a comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients made for just about everybody. You heard it here first. Get your AG1 today.
It's so good.
I'm Ken Griffey Jr. and I support AG1.
Wow. Wow, Ken, thank you.
This is fact check me on this.
We should put special guest Ken Griffey Jr. on this.
Yeah. Just to draw people in.
Yeah.
Anything we can do.
What am I fact checking?
I think that we have only just the three of us done. Got it. Jokic. I think that the three of us have only done three episodes this whole year so far of just us three.
What?
Wait, really?
Only three?
Is that true?
Only three. The last time it was just the three of us, we were just talking about pornography.
That was the last time?
That was the last time. We had so many guests.
So many guests.
Doug ducked out on the Q&A. He was I don't know. I don't want someone to ask me about, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Theology.
No, theology.
Yeah.
So it's
I only want to talk about pornography. So if you have any questions,
but
that's the filter.
I think we covered that. The Austin 3 party returns. Here
we're
we are.
Back. We are back.
Great to be back with you guys.
The three best friends anyone could have.
Mm. Yes. So we should talk about the IM series we've been doing.
Sure.
Because we've had a lot of guests. We haven't talked a lot about
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. So true.
We are 6 weeks in. To a 7 week series.
So 1 week to go.
We're right there.
Good job, Ray.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really good.
Right on the cusp.
You nailed it.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Seven, number of completion.
Yes.
So it makes sense.
So we're almost there.
That Jesus
divine
would pick
will be the final
I am statements.
Correct.
And you will preach about that, Doug.
I will.
What is your favorite type of vine?
Grapes.
Yes.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know of any other vines. Really.
You don't?
I guess not.
I like the app.
When you do your caffeine lesson, teach me on vines. You're like what?
The app Vine.
Yep.
I heard.
That was just a little after our time, I feel like. Did you guys ever have a Vine?
D-Vine.
I never had a Vine.
Yeah, you had to have an account.
Like TikTok kind of thing?
Yeah.
I feel like we were just a little beyond that. Like we missed it. I'm talking age-wise.
Yeah.
Kind of like TikTok.
Ooh.
Right. We're way past that one.
Yeah.
But just a little
way
past
too
Vine.
Old to have a TikTok.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're out of high school. So.
But yeah, excited to preach about the Vine. Yes. The final I am statement in the book of John, just to catch you up in case you don't know what we're talking about, the Gospel of John, mm-hmm. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Jesus makes 7 I am statements, much like Tony Stark at the end of the original Iron Man, when he says, I am Iron Man, and the credits roll.
But Jesus 7-ups him. He makes 7 statements.
Whoa.
7
up. So we'll give Tony, we'll give Tony the 8th best I am statement, but the first 7 belong
to
Jesus.
I'll tell you later.
Save it for the end of the episode. Yeah. Find out at the end of this
episode. Stay tuned to the end of the episode. Ryan had
how fast? 7 I am statements.
How fast can you say all 7?
Bread.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, let's time it.
I'm actually gonna time you guys.
I'll do it with my glasses back on again.
Prove it.
All right. You ready, E?
Ready.
On your mark, get set, go.
Bread, light, door, shepherd, resurrection, and life. Way, truth, life, vine.
I can't top that. Won't even try.
You don't think you can?
I was gonna say I am for all of them.
Yeah.
So
I was kinda hoping you would.
Semantics.
I was kinda hoping you were gonna do that.
So much drama on this podcast.
That's all right, man. That's all right. You wanna try to top it?
Sure.
What was my time?
Well, without saying I am.
Yeah, that was implied.
4.36. I bet I can do that with saying I am.
Okay, prove it.
Hold on a sec.
Seems like I bet I could run 2 laps as fast as you ran 1 lap. Okay.
Tell me when to go.
Ready, go.
I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth of life. I am the vine.
Oh, no way. He did it.
4.70.
No, I think he did it, though.
Yeah, Ryan was a little late on the...
Seems like he didn't, though, because he didn't.
We can throw the challenge flag.
Somebody who's ever touched a stopwatch before.
And the vine.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Yep. Good job, Doug.
Thank you.
That was really fast.
Yeah.
Very fast.
I will say.
I know.
All right. Has there been one specific statement that has, obviously they're all very important, but one that stuck out to you the most, maybe one that you hadn't thought as much about, or this year just kind of, as they say, hit different? Am I using that right?
Yeah. Cool. That was great.
Cool.
It was really cool.
Light. So Jesus says, I'm the light. It's all through John's gospel.
Yeah.
But it's also all through the Bible. And so I was writing the sermon, so I was more aware of it. But as I've been reading like Paul's letters, even this morning in Ephesians, you start to see more and more like the imagery of light and darkness, and seeing Jesus being the light. And when the enemy tries to block out the sun for 2 minutes, everybody just freaks out.
Wow.
Totally eclipse.
Are you saying the moon is our enemy?
Yeah, the moon comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the sun comes that we may have. No, I am the light has really illuminated a lot for me.
Wow.
This year.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
I like that. The resurrection and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the for Easter. Really enjoyed preaching on that. And I saw it for the first time from John's perspective, the author, hence John 10:10.
Creative
and John
title.
11:25. But John 10:10, he says, like, Jesus has come so that you might have life and life to the full. Mm-hmm. But I always, I pictured it because John was, before he met Jesus, John was totally just kind of fine. Mm-hmm. And usually when we read the Gospels, we always think of people who are so desperate and they're hungry, they're starving, they're sick, they're blind, they're in some state of desperation, and then they meet Jesus and he changes everything. But John wasn't that. He was just kind of fine. I think maybe a different form of brokenness that doesn't really look or feel like brokenness. He had a fishing business with his brother and his dad, made a good paycheck, didn't need for much, until Jesus showed up and said, follow me. And then John left fine for more than fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he left life for life to the full. And realizing, I remember saying this on Easter, if you're fine, there's more. Because I think a lot of people in our congregation, in churches all over our country, relate to that. Honestly, I have seasons where I'm absolutely desperate for God to do something, but most of the time I'm just kind of fine. And so you don't know what you're missing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Until Jesus interrupts your life. Yeah. And then you realize anybody can experience life without knowing Jesus, but there's a fullness beyond it that only comes from knowing the creator behind the creation, like the giver behind the gifts,
mm-hmm.
who thought you up and placed you into this life to enjoy it. And the more that you get to know him personally, it gives meaning to everything else, and you can enter into more than fine. And so I saw that from, yeah, John's perspective for the first time. I had never seen that. And it meant a lot to me. That's just so to watch all those stories. And even Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life from the vantage point of John. Yep. Yeah. So that's my answer.
What's that old adage? If the enemy can't make you bad, he'll make you busy.
Yeah.
That idea of like, so often we just get super busy. How often is that our response to people when they ask us how we're doing? Oh, I'm just busy, just busy, just busy.
Every time.
And it's like we get to the end of our life and just realize, oh, I was just busy the whole time.
Right.
And I was just sort of fine. I was right. just sort of getting by, yeah. missing out on the abundant life that Jesus had for me the whole
right.
time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The resurrection, like as an alley-oop, that statement with the way, the truth, and the life stuck out to me a lot because obviously he makes the resurrection and the life statement in John 10 when he raises Lazarus, that story, which is well before the actual resurrection. So for him to say that and then tell them, I am the way, what came to life for me is as his body was in the tomb, all of the people that believed in him, his disciples, the women who went to the, who are going to the tomb, it's like all of the angels, like everyone's just holding their breath, like, wait,
right,
what right. will happen?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean that you said you were the way?
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show up, that stone is rolled away, like that he's actually alive. Them realizing that moment to me, that's just, that Easter moment is so sweet to me in light of the things he said leading up to that.
That's cool.
More so this year.
That's awesome. So cool. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been so fun doing this series.
Yeah.
That's all about Jesus around Easter.
Yeah.
Because it just makes the whole, like, makes Holy Week, the death and resurrection of Jesus, all that much more.
Yeah.
It's like every year, man, it becomes sweeter and scarier and sadder and all of the emotions to me.
Yeah, you feel it more deeply, all of them. Man. That's good. Yeah, I agree. And this series helped with that. Yeah. Nice. I feel lucky and blessed to get to be one of the teachers of the series. I feel like, you know, the way to learn something and really know it is to have to teach it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to know it on a different level. And so you're kind of forced to get it, internalize it into your head and your heart all week long. And then while you even teach it to everybody else, and then you see light bulbs going off, it like solidifies it in your heart even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very weighty statements.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there's a really cool part of that. That's like, man, to unpack this beautiful, amazing thing that Jesus has shared with us, this revelation that he's given us is awesome.
Right.
And it's heavy in the same way because you know there's some people that are not going to agree with this or like what's being said. It's going to offend.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that said, you just preached, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Yeah.
The, not a way, a truth, a life.
Right.
I just realized a few people. You did.
Sorry about that.
Be professional. For once in your life, Ethan.
Ethan, you got something right there? What is that? Oh, it's eclipse glasses.
Eclipse glasses.
Okay. A few people walked out.
Yeah.
Tell us about the part they walked out on.
The 10. So that Sunday preaching was probably the loneliest day of preaching I've ever had.
Okay.
And not because like, it was like, you guys don't care or anything about people. It just being on stage with that, like James and I were talking last night because he preached The Way, the Truth, and Life in Denver. And he was like, all the other statements have like some metaphor and some like things to do. And it's like, this is just such a direct statement. It's not really like, I need to explain this too deeply.
Right.
Like, this is just what he said.
Right.
And knowing, and I love this about our church, but our Saturday night crew is probably more people who have been following the way of Jesus. And I would just guess that because you can feel it in the room.
Right.
It's more people who aren't coming to try to figure this out. It's more people who are growing,
right,
who are on the journey already. Mm-hmm. Part of that is illuminated to me because they were willing to come on Saturday night to make room for new people on Sunday.
So
they
get
the mission. I know for some people, maybe it's just their schedule, but our Sunday crowd, which is so cool, is a lot of spiritual seekers who are coming, trying to navigate the world of New Age and all the things that I talked about.
Yep.
It's a lot of people who maybe haven't been in church in a while, maybe burned Bible Belt kids. Like, so there's a lot of, there's a lot of people coming from different backgrounds in the room.
Yeah.
And to talk that directly, which I love to do, but it just felt like, man, I know that there's people in here right now that everything I'm saying is like, they're really upset about it.
Yeah.
And I think when I broke into, hey, I'm not attacking these religions, but here's what they believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's what makes Jesus different.
Yeah.
And to be abundantly clear, to say that Jesus is not saying that all roads lead. He's saying it's only through him.
Yeah.
I think in both the 10:15 and the noon, I saw probably three or four people just leave. At some point when I was very pointedly saying, this is who Jesus is and he's nothing less than this. And there's
All you were doing was saying, hey, here's what this religion believes. Here's what this religion believes. What this religion believes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I even think of like that coexist bumper sticker. And on one level, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, love everybody.
Totally.
And we can disagree to disagree. And we're in this together. And we can be friends and have great conversations via relationship.
Yeah.
But to take it to the level a lot of people take it to when they put that bumper sticker on their car, it's kind of like, all these are right and respect all of them because, but none of those beliefs would say that all of these are right.
Yeah.
All
exactly.
of them are saying
exactly.
this is an explicit, exclusive statement that this is the way.
Yeah.
This is the truth.
Yeah. The only way to get there is to know very little about what each of the religions and worldviews are saying.
What's interesting is the conversation that I've had in other countries with people of other faiths are not nearly as like contentious and volatile as Westerners who want everything to be right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what exactly that is, but like we in Uganda was maybe, I think it's like one of the biggest mosques in the world.
Yeah.
So we went to see it and we met one of the imams there and we got to know him and we visited him two or three times and he gave us a Quran and we gave him a Bible and we would talk back and forth and ask questions. And
It
was awesome. The hope. And I think a lot of people, maybe anytime you bring up other religions, think it's an us against them mentality and the hope is it's us for them.
Right.
But also with each of those religions, what you find is there's actually plenty of bridges between us to be able to have these conversations.
Of course.
They all actually acknowledge who Jesus, Jesus is someone.
Right.
Like, that's a bridge right there. Like, okay, but who is he? And let's break that down. Let's unpack that. Let's talk about eternity.
Even
let's
an atheist, you said any atheist who has done any homework at all knows that historically Jesus was a man who lived and shook things up in a big way.
So it comes down to whether he was the way, the truth, and who he claimed to be.
Yeah.
Or what other religions say is someone less. And, but there's so many bridges and so many good conversations to have. And I think that because obviously I talked also about truth.
Right.
And we live in a time where everyone wants truth to be relative and everyone's truth to be true. When you make a very strong statement of truth, I think people don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Like that kind of clarity is rare these days. Mm. And I think that's why Jesus forces everyone to in the end have an answer about who he is because he's so clear.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
speaks in parables. And then by the time he's at the Last Supper, he's like, I'm not going to speak in parable here.
Right.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right.
No one comes to the Father except through me. You guys in this room got to know that first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show this to you, but he shocks people.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you've only seen him ever as like the hippie.
Oh, homeboy. Dude. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Shocking the claims he makes. So yes, I mean, you guys have had people walk out of your sermons before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think I had somebody ask me, they're like, somebody near me walked out. Like, what does that make you feel like? And I was like, if I said something that was my thing, like if I was being rude or like, you know, I would feel
or
bad
opinionated.
I would feel bad about that.
Yeah.
If I'm speaking just with clarity what Jesus says.
And you're kind of standing up for him.
Then that's what I, like, that's my job as a pastor. And what breaks my heart though is for the people that walk out, I'm like, you're the exact person that I want to know this.
Yes.
You know, like people who say, I'm not going to come to this church. I'm not going to be here anymore because this is the claim they're making about Jesus. Yeah. I'm like, you don't understand how good of news this is for you.
Yeah.
Because you're going to wade back out into all these other places that are going to confuse you and lead you into darkness and lead you away from life.
Yeah.
If you can't just let Jesus be who he really is. And that's what is heartbreaking to me.
Yeah. And the walkout is symptomatic of that, right? Yeah. Like we want to get to a point where we can sit through 35 minutes of somebody we disagree with and go, okay, that's interesting. That's not my worldview, but it's interesting to hear that take.
Especially if you came to a Christian church.
Yeah. Yeah, but even just in general, man.
Yeah.
Like we're now at a point where we can't even listen to each other.
Right.
And under the disguise of we want everyone to be accepted, it's actually, we don't want to talk about anything serious ever at all.
Right.
And now what's happened is congruent worldviews has become a prerequisite for friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
wow, that's
where did we get to that point? Mm-hmm. Like, since when do we have to believe all the same things to hang out?
Right.
And actually conversation and discussion is where all the life change happens. Yeah. That's where all the fruit happens. But we don't do that. Instead, we just throw stones at each other or walk out or whatever. And it's like, guys, let's just talk.
Didn't you worked with a rabbi on a project and didn't he kind of make fun of our culture and how bad we are at conversation?
It's so good, man. Because like debate is just what they do.
Right.
Right. And by the way, Jesus was a rabbi. And so like when he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you, right, that like what he's doing is he's trying to go, hey, here's your worldview right now. Let me give you a different way to think about it. And by the way, I would love to hear your response to this statement that I'm making.
Absolutely. Like,
that's such a beautiful thing.
It's iron sharpening iron.
Yeah, dude, we just completely lost
it. Can't do it. But yeah. it also when it comes to like the Christian church, I think is concerning in a way, because it's if people show up and they're shocked to hear that you're preaching that Jesus is the only way, right. They're like, what are we doing? You know, if that's surprising to people in our culture, that Christians are clear that Jesus is the only way, then that concerns me.
Man, you gotta feel though, you said like you feel lonely in those moments preaching, but you gotta feel like really close to Jesus.
Yeah, that was,
you know what I mean?
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I feel it's like you get a tiny little piece.
Exactly.
Not even ever going to compare to what he and
But it's something.
But you get a little
it's
taste
more
of
than
how
the norm.
Because like in John 6, it says this is a hard teaching. Who can believe? People left him.
Yeah.
And said many people stopped following him because of things he said.
Dude, a whole bunch
of
people.
I think we forget that sometimes. And our goal is never for people to leave and never come back. But there will be people that do that. Because the gospel is very clear, and if you can't accept it, then you're going to go look somewhere else for what you're, for and your salvation. You know?
If we're just being clear, it is offensive. Like we're telling people that you can't get there on your own, so you have to die to yourself.
Right.
It's a pretty offensive statement to make.
Yeah.
So to be fair, I see that. Like I see why that would rub people the wrong way. Of course.
Totally.
And to your point, a whole bunch of people hung out with Jesus while he was multiplying food and feeding them. And then when he would make those harder statements, they'd be like, nope.
Nah, man.
We're out of here.
Because I want to do this my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the elephant parable. Let's break that down one more time.
Okay, So it's six blind men. They each have a different approach. One feels the side and thinks an elephant's a wall. One feels the trunk, thinks an elephant's a snake.
Yeah.
I could put these glasses on, actually. one feels the tusk and think it's a spear.
Yes.
One feels the leg and thinks it's a tree.
Yeah.
One feels the ear and thinks it's a fan, which was the one that I was like, what kind of fan is that? I don't know. And then the tail was the rope. And it's sometimes like as a kid's story, like, hey, we don't need to fight if we all have different perspectives, which is good.
Great. Yeah.
From the religious standpoint, it's used as a universalistic view that all roads lead to the elephant, God, whatever is the universe, whatever's beyond this. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just got their little piece. Yeah. And we are basically blind. Mm-hmm. There's no way we can really know God. Or anything about him.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Tim Keller pointed out that I pointed out is the pride of the narrator is the problem with the story.
Yeah. Right.
That many people in our culture live with to say, I actually do know who the elephant is. And it's all of this stuff.
Right.
I know that this all works together. While none of those blind men, as they call us, would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's very flawed.
Yeah. To say that you are, to make the claim, everybody, you know, the kind of coexist to the extreme. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a piece of it. All roads lead to the same place. Yeah. Like, let's just, come on, guys.
Yeah.
That sounds like the most humble position to take.
Right.
But actually, it's the exact opposite because what it implies, you are the narrator of that elephant parable and you are saying, without saying it, you are the only person who's not blind.
Yeah.
And you can see the whole elephant to know all y'all are blind and just see part of it.
Yep. It's basically the narrator's walking past a Hindu, a Muslim.
Yeah.
A Christian, a Buddhist in Home Depot and going, I know more than you.
Like
Ron Swanson. That's basically what it is. Don't talk to me. I know more than you.
Dude,
you're
all blind.
Cute little faith that you have.
Yeah.
I was years ago explaining that to somebody at a coffee shop who, like, pastoral meeting, they invited me. They were trying to figure things out and they're asking me these questions. And so I start talking about the blind men and the elephant. And a person at the table next to me, I'm halfway through explaining it, stands up, walks over and goes, you're so closed-minded. This is objective truth claims that you're making. You're so closed-minded, and stormed out of the coffee shop.
Oh my God.
Like, as I'm trying to like talk to him.
Man.
And
dude, I'm so sorry about whatever church you went to as a kid, but this is not my fault. Like, you know, dude,
wow.
That's like years of baggage coming out.
Yeah. And I was sitting there going, wait a second. He's mad at me because he thinks I'm making an objective truth claim. Meanwhile, he's making an objective truth claim that I'm wrong.
Right.
The only difference is I got invited into this conversation and he did not. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's the only difference.
That's the only difference.
And the thing is, people are like, well, you're so close-minded. You're so prideful. I'm like, Jesus made this claim.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm echoing and believing the claim that he made.
That's good. Yeah.
He's the one who made this claim ultimately. And you can put that up against the claim right. of Krishna or Muhammad or sure. Buddha. It's those claims that were made. Right. We're all choosing which claim we're going to believe in.
That's good.
Ultimately.
Yeah, what we're saying is...
I'm
not saying
that I'm the guy who knows all of this. I'm saying that I believe in the guy who does.
You run it on a worldview, and it's that Jesus is Lord.
Correct.
That right. Jesus is King.
But right? man,
that's
even...
what he said.
And so I'm evangelizing, trying to get
that's
the person who invited me.
You can't say
me.
There's objective truth. I'm like, you yeah. can't say there's no truth because that's an objective truth claim.
Dude,
that
wild.
You just made.
He just did it.
And
but of course.
Every religion makes one.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the only truth claim yeah. that showed up just as grace.
But he was.
And yeah, ooh. Exactly. Because here's ooh. The thing that all the world religions,
mm-hmm.
and some people's Christianity looks like this,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think they've actually grasped the gospel, but all world religions, while they each disagree with each other in doctrine, which way, which truth, which life, what they all agree on is that salvation is on you.
Right.
All of them say that.
Yeah. Right.
Every single one. Yeah. You have to earn your way to whatever it is.
Right.
And Jesus is the other option
right.
to say, I am God who came to find you. I'm That's not here so to show good, you who he yeah. is, as Tim Keller said.
Yeah.
I didn't come to show you the way to God. I am God who's come to get you.
Exactly.
That's the difference between
so
those two
good,
categories.
Man.
And so you have to do something with that. But back to your point of like discourse and conversation, we could yeah. sit in that mosque with that imam and he loved yeah. it.
Loved it.
Knows that we completely
oh,
disagree
yes,
on stuff.
Yes.
We had a great time.
But we have bridges to each other. We're all trying to yeah. deepen our and grow
yes.
and understand
uh-huh.
and we can have, and he can bring up good points and we can, like, that should be the way this is.
And
gotta,
to take that further,
not be soft.
Like, he can teach us,
yeah.
disagree with his worldview. He also can teach us something about devotion and dedication.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And
yes.
Consistency.
Self-control.
Self-control.
Yes.
So there's so much that we can mm-hmm. learn from him
mm-hmm.
if we yeah. can just learn to be humans. Like back to that coffee shop example, I was explaining that blind man and the elephant analogy, and then the person I was explaining it to was going to give me his thoughts about it. And we were going to go back and forth, and it was going to be this civil discourse.
Yeah.
The third person that just stormed off didn't want anything to do
oh,
with
no.
the conversation.
No,
right?
No.
So let it be, how about this? Let conversations about worldview be conversation starters instead of conversation enders.
Yeah.
And take
good.
A humble posture of yeah. what can I learn from you? Because that'll make the person you're having a conversation with.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'll mess with them in a great way. I remember before we moved about a year ago, my last neighborhood, I had a neighbor who, not a Christian at all,
mm-hmm.
and we disagreed. We had some conversations where we disagreed on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember thinking, you're a better neighbor than me, though.
Hmm.
Oof. You're the host of all the block parties. You're knocking on doors when there's a blizzard. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I can learn. I'm the Christian who can learn a thing or two from you, the atheist, on how to be a better neighbor.
That's so good.
Yeah. Remember, I told him that, and that was like, that was
that's cool.
Yeah, it messed with him in a good way,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also like for me, having conversations with people of other faiths has challenged me in good ways and deepened my faith.
Yeah.
Where I actually can walk away from a conversation. Like, it's like I know more of your perspective and things, and not to like speak badly of you, but it just makes me all the more thankful for Jesus.
Yeah.
Like it's grown my faith and
yeah.
deepened my love for Jesus because I see the chains that so many people live in
yeah.
with religion telling them this is on your shoulders to figure this out, or with a new age person who has no answers for any of my questions and is so confused and lost and being told that they're going to find enlightenment and more truth and truth and truth and getting more and more confused. And it makes me so thankful for the clarity of
yeah.
Jesus and the goodness. And that's ultimately, the hope is what people will hear is like all of these claims have been based on a person saying,
yeah,
I'm going to give you the answer. I have this download or whatever.
Right.
The claim of Jesus is a claim that he made backed up with an event.
Right.
And that's wow. what Christianity is based on. Wow. It's not the claims. It's the event that proved the claims of the resurrection.
An event of self-sacrifice.
Self-sacrifice
yeah.
and resurrection.
Yeah.
And that means
uh-huh.
you don't
the
need
ultimate.
Any of
yeah.
these other things. There don't need
exactly.
to be chains on you. There doesn't need to be confusion.
Exactly.
All you need is him because he's made the way.
Yeah.
And there are. And so at the same time, while there were a few people who walked out, and my hope and prayer is that they will go after God and be like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And he'll answer them
yeah.
and meet them
Good.
In that.
Great. Absolutely.
There were also people who I think, I mean, there were people who just put their faith in Jesus and realized, like, this is all I need.
Yeah.
And the clarity of that, which is a really beautiful thing. So,
yeah,
it was quite a weekend.
Yeah, man. Great job.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, man. That's tough with, I was thinking one more time about that narrator of that elephant story. Where I feel like you know, even when you said a quick synopsis of like, hey, by the way, all these religions, can I give you one sentence? And I'm just saying what those religions claim.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And some people are like, yeah, you can't. Wait, no, I'm just saying
what they believe.
Because I think a lot of people in our generation, millennials and Gen Z, kind of throw out like the word, well, Christianity is this country club for people who think they're better than everybody else and this exclusive. And so let's in the name of compassion and inclusivity, we're way more into all these other ideologies. And kind of like a syncretism of I'll take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and include a little bit of Jesus as the nice guy supplement here to make you more loving and compassionate.
He'll make my
just
smoothie
like
sweeter.
Him. And it sounds like, man, that is the most loving route to go. And it's so compassionate. But at the end of the day, Jesus, who is love, is grace and truth. And I feel like even before he's compassionate, he is grace and he is truth. Which what I'm saying is compassion is not God. God is compassionate. And when you make compassion just God, then you become the arrogant one who virtue signals using a lot of these, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of syncretism. And in reality, it's and you're not meaning to, but it's like you're claiming to be the only one of us who's not blind. And that's why it takes a great amount of humility to say, to follow Jesus. It's not an arrogant thing. I say that a lot. Like, I'm a Christian not because I think I'm better than you. I'm a Christian because I know I'm not. I had to get saved because we couldn't save ourselves. We all needed a savior, and I'm a sinner, and I couldn't get my way to heaven if I tried. That is not arrogant. And saying, God, you have a specific way, and there's a truth about you. And even when I don't fully understand it, and even sometimes if I kind of disagree with it in the short term, I'm still going to submit myself to it and come beneath that. And that's arrogant. And meanwhile, do you and live your truth and be what you like. That is considered humility. And you know what I mean? That is putting yourself on the throne of your heart. And this is saying, I'm not God. And I will submit myself to this greater truth, this greater life, and this greater way.
That's great. So maybe the parable would be make more sense if it was really that you have a couple different narrators sitting around a table, each explaining the elephant to you, and you have to decide which one of these guys do I believe.
Yeah, there you go.
And Jesus is one of those guys at the table going, guys, you can't do this on your own.
I
can only do this for you, and I've done it for you.
I've done it.
So it's of those narrators, who are you going to believe?
And Jesus' narrative is dramatically different than the other ones that say, here are all the things you got to do. Here are the things you need to say. Here are the things you need to not say. And if you do that, then you can get there.
And I think it speaks to what's interesting is that grace and freedom are so foreign to us as broken human beings. It's almost like we reject and repel that one the most because it feels too hard for us to actually believe. Like, it's more comfortable to believe religion that gives me the control, that I can do enough and I can please the gods or God on my good behavior and my scale is almost more comfortable for us.
For sure.
The most comfortable is just there's no bigger thing and I'm just gonna do whatever I want.
Right.
You know, then I'm just gonna go live in anarchy. But then the next step, if you don't actually buy that narrative, is, well, then give me the task and the control. And the hardest thing is to open your hands and go, it's only by his grace. And I'm actually called to not live a life of my performance. It's just freedom from here to go live and tell everybody about him. Yeah. It's the best news you could have, but we like can't take good news on, which is the world we live in, right? Everyone, people probably fighting over the eclipse to bring it full circle. Like, just something cool.
We will find
a way to like divide it and make it negative somehow.
Yeah. Self-sabotage, man. We're like allergic to good.
Truly. And you know what? Also, when I was thinking about like the universalist, for some of them, it's just, maybe it's a prideful thing. I think for some people, they're so deeply compassionate and loving.
For sure.
That they lay awake thinking of people of other faiths.
Yeah.
Well, how does this all play out? And like, what about somebody in another country and stuff like that? And I'm like, you will be the best follower of Jesus because of your compassion and love if you can like direct that to him and the gospel and the truth of it, because you're going to want to go tell everybody
that's this really good news.
You're going to want everybody to know Jesus because you're so loving.
You feel that. That's a burden. And there's a reason you lay awake in bed at night with that burden.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a need.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's cool, just to add this in, because I think some people do have the question about, well, what about parts of the world where those religions are the native religions? And how does this?
Yeah.
There are so many cool things happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
And part of that, James talked about it up in Denver. You'll hear all over the place in the Middle East that there are dreams people are having of the man in white. There's ad campaigns.
Wow.
Have you seen the man in white? Who is this? People are trying to find their way to Christian churches, and it's very high stakes and high security and stuff.
Yeah.
Where through dreams, Jesus is speaking to people and calling them to himself. There's been imams who have left mosques because Jesus speaks to them and says, I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul. I know there's some people that are like, that's not how this stuff works. Like cessationists or whatever. I'm like, okay, but the Apostle Paul had a revelation where Jesus spoke to him, resurrected Jesus, and that's happening to people who are, hey, I'm not a prophet.
Right.
I am Lord.
It's and turning wild, their faith
to him. So why are we arguing about the means to get us there?
And at the same time, there are missionaries and there are pastors and people who lay awake at night thinking of people who don't know Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they've devoted their lives to going to those places. We partner with some of those amazing organizations that are underground that are doing everything they can to share the good news of Jesus in other places.
Yeah.
And that's not them trying to go, you know, convert people for a statistic or to impose on people. Yeah. It's because they understand the good news of Jesus.
Right.
And they want people that are in chains to be freed.
Right.
That's
right.
That's what they're doing.
And it's happening
all over the world.
Right
the
now.
Church in the Middle East and in China is on fire. It makes the Western church look like we're a little match.
Well, there's even movements right now, like in Britain, of awakenings happening.
Yeah.
And that's in Western Europe where, you know, we did a little staff devo yesterday where a lot of Western Europe, you go and see beautiful churches, but you go not to worship, you go to see some cool architecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because back in the day, people worshiped there.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just, I mean, there's been like a coldness and a spiritual dryness.
Yeah.
And now a hunger and now an awakening happening all over, you know, it's like, it's truly the tide of Christianity is coming in.
Yeah.
And it was out far.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about tides, the farther out it is, the more power it comes in
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
So do you think Jesus is coming back soon?
Ooh, we could title an episode that.
Yeah.
I do think that there is an awakening happening in the world.
Yeah.
And there's a spiritual reason ultimately behind that. But I think part of this is because the world is so uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
With war, with the economy. Like when the world's super comfortable, at least we live in the Western world. So I can speak for that. When the Western world's been super comfortable, it's kind of like, I don't need to think about faith. I kind of have everything I need.
Yeah.
Everything's good, you know? But when the world is seemingly on fire and there's so many conflicts and things going on, it forces everybody to be like, one day this whole thing will end.
Right.
Starting with my life. Like, I need to think about that.
Way more temporary than I thought.
Which is why I said on, like, the most loving thing I can do as a pastor is confront you with the truth that Jesus is telling you, because you need to think about this.
You have to.
You need to answer this question, who is Jesus?
Yeah.
Because it matters. Yeah. It matters forever.
That's the feeling you get at a funeral.
Yeah.
It's sobriety of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You sober up to the idea of eternity. And it forces you in a really healthy way. It's kind of like cold water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you hate it. It's like a shock in the moment. And then you walk away from that funeral thinking, I feel a lot more depth and meaning to my life right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm now thinking about forever and eternity and contemplating it and looking at what I kind of was ignoring, but now I can't.
Yeah.
And times like these force
sobriety right now.
Yes,
which is what we need. Desperately need. The church needs it.
Yeah.
Because we need to actually care about people who don't know Jesus.
So in case there's one person listening to this, of the dozens of you who tune in.
dozens.
I don't know, because you brought up that question like, well, what about the people, other languages? What about the guy on the deserted island?
Right,
What about him? And there's no missionary going to that island.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, you could be that missionary, first of all.
Yeah.
But second, you're not on an island.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk about you first.
Mm-hmm. You have access to at least one podcast. We know that.
You're accountable to what you know.
Yeah.
Island guy doesn't know.
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't need a missionary to reach him.
Jesus can reach people through a missionary. And he can reach people through a dream.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He will reach people.
So let's talk about you. Yeah. Like the decision that you're going to make, sobered up to eternity, with information that you know about the one truth claim that showed up dressed as grace.
Right? Yeah.
And it's time to confront that and come face to face.
Yeah, you got to confront that and not use that question as a cop out to not answer the question. Exactly. And I think that's what a lot of people do. But again, also sometimes just a good heart. That's like, what about, it's like, okay, well, God's sovereign and in control.
Yeah.
And there are people who reject God. Yeah, for there are people who reject Jesus as Lord. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But let's start with you.
Yeah.
And then if that is the thing that keeps you up at night, go to that island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go be that person that shares the good news of Jesus.
Yeah. I think God talks to us a lot of times through our burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And through open doors and opportunities and through burdens.
That's great. Yes.
And through passions.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, wasn't that Nehemiah who wanted to go rebuild the wall and he couldn't sleep at night?
Yeah. Yeah.
And God spoke to him through this thing that made him restless all day, every day.
Yeah.
And then he went and did it.
I remember being in a village in Haiti with a team. And there was an 18-year-old kid, super bright, had a huge future ahead of him. And one night he was just in tears and he's like, I can't unsee this. The poverty. Poverty is the thing that really struck him, mixed with witchcraft in that village.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't unsee this, the way that people are living, like the darkness of the witchcraft, but how like poor they are and all this stuff. I don't know what to do. He was like kind of panicking.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the first thing you got to know is that God knows who these people are and he's working here. That's why we got here in the first place. And second, this feels like a crushing weight right now, but it will become a blessing of a burden in your life because you will never be able to just go back to comfortable because you'll know that you're here for a bigger purpose. And for the rest of your life, you'll be haunted in a really good way. Yeah. There are people that don't have what you have. There are people that don't know what you know.
Yeah.
And that actually will be the driver of your life if you let it in a really good way, that it's not on your shoulders, but it is your call to help answer that for these people.
It's like, okay, when you take a burden, there's one of two things you can do with it. It can either turn into critique or calling. Mm-hmm. There's something there. We can run with it some other time.
Yeah.
But it's like the way that we usually handle burden is just by critiquing, throwing stones at whoever, or like that's what politics is, right? Yeah. We're just, we got this burden, so I'm just going to argue about how bad the political landscape is or whatever. It's like, what if you take that burden and turn that into a calling?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay, what is... Like, if it's politics, not to bring that, although we'll get into that as we head into an election year, it's like, what is something proactive that you are doing to help bring change to your community?
Yeah.
You know, same thing with that burden of poverty that guy in Haiti is feeling, is if you let it just simmer, if the enemy loves to turn that burden into criticism and critique, but if you will allow God to work through it, it can become a calling. And it can become like an arrow, like a compass that's pointing you towards where God wants you to go.
Yeah. That's a good question. People ask, like, what is my purpose? Like, what keeps you up at night about this world and its brokenness?
Yeah.
You need to go dive into that with your gifts.
That's really good.
One of our friends who we partner with, the organization that he started, he was just went to the Himalayas to trek, just a trekking trip, as people do, to go see the mountains and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And on the trip, they were in a stop in a village. And
are you talking about Walter Mitty and the soccer game and the snow leopard?
Yeah, Walter Mitty Ministries.
Okay. Beautiful things don't Mitty demand attention.
In a village they were in, there was two men with a group of kids that were passing through and very like openly shared that they had taken those kids and they were going to sell them in India into trafficking. So he's on a trekking trip just to have fun with some guys and then learns that. And it was kind of like, I can't unsee this. He left the trip, went back home, and he went and sat down in his cubicle back here in the US and quit halfway through the day and was like, I can't do this anymore. If I know that that's happening right now, I just saw that, my life, something's got to change in my life.
Good.
And then devoted his life to what has become years and years and years of ministry, where so many people have been freed, people have found abundant life, and ultimately in a very, very dark place like the Himalayas, where you see the dark side of Buddhism. Yeah. Where you see the dark side of Hinduism, some really, really dark demonic things happening.
Yeah.
So many people have found Jesus and freedom through that. Churches planted in places they've never been before. The good news unlocked to people.
Yeah.
And beautiful stories also of villages they've come to, and that people are asking, like, we've been hearing this name, who is this? Oh, we can tell you it's Jesus.
Yeah.
Like crazy stories like that. But it started with a guy who just felt a burden.
Yeah.
And has now become a blessing to generations of people that we won't even know this side of eternity. So hopefully that inspires people.
Absolutely.
To the good news of Jesus and what we actually get to do.
Good.
Yeah.
Like the disciples when they realize that salvation comes through no one else. So we're going to go risk our lives.
And that's
and go
great
all
news that it is specific.
Well, it's great news that salvation comes through no one else, because before that, salvation came through no one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was you.
Dude, that's so good.
And that's
good.
Not going to work.
And that's not going to work.
So the end of that John 6 story is after Jesus starts saying some really difficult things, a whole bunch of people walk away. And then Jesus turns back to the disciples, Peter and the guys, and goes, what about you? And Peter's response is, where else are we going to go?
Yeah.
Like, you have the words of eternal life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter goes, I don't know much, which is shout out to Peter. That's why we resonate with him.
Yeah.
But I know enough to know that I can't save myself and I need you to be my savior. So where else would I go?
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's that point of beautiful surrender where Christianity just gets really, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the point of no return. Yeah. I can't go back. I've seen too much.
I've got too good of news. Much.
Got too good of
news.
I don't
want to unknow this news.
Yeah. And the fact that it's specific and there is like a truth claim is the greatest news ever, because in a world of murky confusion and everybody feeling like I'm not standing on anything sturdy, there's clarity and there's a firm foundation. And it's for everybody.
Mm. Yeah.
It's for whoever believes.
Yeah.
That's the only prereq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the most inclusive, specific statement that there is.
Yeah, exactly.
Anybody and everybody. So to the people that maybe would walk out of a sermon like that, if they did this weekend, they're probably not listening to this podcast. But
maybe
if this kind of a conversation is offensive, if a truth claim of Jesus as being the only way is offensive, my challenge would be keep after him.
Yeah.
Good. Challenge him. Like, go after him. Go read the Gospels.
Good.
Go actually seek him in that question.
Yeah.
Don't walk away from him.
Yeah.
And as you do, as you keep like, I want to learn more about this guy. I want to see what he said. You'll find that he like won't leave you alone.
Come on.
He will not leave you alone. And it's the most beautiful thing that there is. And people within our community, like, I love having these conversations. And I hope that there are more conversations where it doesn't become like, we're not going to be able to be friends anymore. I can't be like, let's dive into these things and actually talk real about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good.
Good day.
Well, great message.
A good day.
Great message.
A great
looking
day.
Forward to the vine.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
And another eclipse.
I'm looking forward to hearing what I'm going to say, because I don't know.
Will the
what
message
I'm
be divine?
Divine. He is divine.
Jesus is divine.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Kayla, any last thoughts?
Nope.
Cool.
That's great message, guys.
Thanks, Kayla. Next week, we will return.
Yep.
With Corey Miller.
Corey Miller.
Wow. Corey Miller.
Gonna
it's
going to
be,
so be
awesome.
Good. Yes.
And if you've made it to the end of this episode, thank you for being part of the Afterthoughts family.
Yes.
We love all of you. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That helps.
Mm-hmm.
Like these videos. That helps. Leave a comment. That helps. Share it with somebody. That helps. And this conversation would probably start a really cool conversation in your small group or with some friends. So
let's go.
That's
share
right.
it with somebody. And thank you to AG1.
AG1.
Happy Eclipse Week.
Peace out.
Let's go.